At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
What does America get from the Big Beautiful Bill?
Right. What America gets from the Big Beautiful Bill is border security, national security, an extra $10,000 in the pocket of the typical American family, no tax on overtime, no tax on tips. We've got 90 million American workers that are hourly workers that are going to see that extra overtime that they're getting paid go straight into their pockets. And all of this is going to happen if we pass the bill. If we don't pass the bill, the Council of Economic Advisors here at the White House has said that it's going to cause GDP to drop 4%, one of the biggest recessions in history because of a massive tax hike. And honestly, that's why this bill is going to pass. I've got a few Senate staffers on my team that did a little pool today. I told them to tell me what time is it going to pass tonight. And the average of the four votes was about midnight.
Okay,
we'll see.
There you have the discussion today from earlier today. Kevin Hassett talking about the likelihood that this is actually going to pass. And I think that we're all sitting here waiting to see if the Senate is going to be able to get the job done. And I think we might see a vote today. The conversation over the weekend in the Senate was, we talked to Senator Eric Schmidt on Friday. It really wasn't long after that that they realized, okay, we do have the votes. Then you have to go through the procedure in the Senate to get the job done. And if you didn't hear this news over the weekend, which I completely understand why you weren't paying attention to this, Chuck Schumer pulled a procedural trick, which has been used by Republicans and Democrats, but not really that often. And they said, you got to read the whole bill. Well, the bill is like 960 pages. So I'm sitting here conflicted. Shouldn't you read every bill that you're going to pass on the Senate? Shouldn't that be publicly consumed every time, and maybe that would stop people from putting together 960-page bills? Well, they pushed it, and it got read, and it was really quite something to take in, because it was read overnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to get the job done.
Yeah, I think it started at midnight or something.
Chad Pergram had an amazing tweet, as Chad Pergram is apt to do, because, I mean, if you want to know something about how Congress functions, Chad Pergram is on top of it. But he walked through the process of reading this bill. Like, why are we going through this process right now? I retweeted it this weekend. He said in his post on X, there are actual standing orders in the Senate which stipulate that the clerk may read at any volume they wish. And there is nothing regulating the speed at which they read. They also don't have to stand up to read, although the clerk right now is standing. Every bill is intended to be read. Every time the Senate is going to pass a bill, it is to be read. And then, as Chad Pergram highlights in his post here, inevitably, one senator will ask for unanimous consent to, like, basically skip the reading of the bill, and then it always passes. But not this time. The minority leader, Chuck Schumer, said, no, we're going to read this thing. Does it bother you at all?
No.
I don't care.
I mean, it bothers me because the reasons Democrats are doing it are so stupid, but
it's just delay. They're not going to change anybody's mind.
And also, if your strategy was, well, we could delay the passage of this bill by almost 16 hours. If that's your end game,
Patriots,
it doesn't look like you're getting much accomplished. But I'm actually okay with them reading the bill.
I'm not really that mad about it either, especially when if you go through the process of reading this bill, you know, you're going to find out, of course, what is actually in it. If you choose to pay attention to the 12, 13, whatever hours it was that this was being presented to the American people. Listen to this part. This got to be read in the Senate overnight at, like, what, I don't know, 2, 3 a.m.
Purposes of paragraph 3, the term female means an individual who naturally has, had, will have, or would have, but for a developmental or genetic anomaly or historical accident, the reproductive system that at some point produces, transports, and utilizes eggs for fertilization. 5, male. For purposes of paragraph 3, the term male means an individual who naturally has, had, will have, or would have, but for a developmental or genetic anomaly or historical accident, the reproductive system that at some point produces, transports, and utilizes sperm for fertilization.
There you have it. Thank you, Senator Chuck Schumer, for the public reading of the definition of a woman and a man. Would not have happened if you wouldn't have made him read it.
I like that they used the word historical accident
I was
to
thinking
talk
about
that. Whether a guy is a guy or not.
Well, they were saying that the historical accident impedes their ability to reproduce with sperm.
Right. Like, that's not just an accident, my friend. That is a historic accident.
I think any man would agree.
I do, too.
Female as well. In the event that you were able to reproduce and then you weren't, I would think you would consider that to be a historical accident. So we are going to speak in about 10 minutes or so with Ryan Schmelz from Capitol Hill and get the latest on where the One Big Beautiful Bill stands. Our YouTube live chat poll for you today, if you go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry, will you be happy to see the Big Beautiful Bill sign? Yes or no? Nothing in between. Happy or not happy? There is a huge part of my yes vote for this poll that is so that we could talk about something else.
I understand that.
The other part of my yes vote on this poll today, and if you want to agree with me or disagree with me, make sure you hit the vote and then you leave your comments and we will feature those throughout the course of the show. There is, when you hear the Republicans saying, as we heard from NSC Director Kevin Hassett at the beginning, if you don't vote for this bill, you are voting for a major tax increase. That is true, but it is not exclusively true. The binary choice that exists right now is not the full context of power that the House and the Senate have. They could put together another bill. And you could put together Tom Massey's bill in the House and say the same thing. If you don't vote for this, you are voting for tax hikes for middle America across the board, to use a Trump phrase, the likes of which you've never seen. If Thomas Massey's bill got put forth, And he was stumping for that bill. If Rand Paul's got Paul's bill, which they don't have one because they know that that wouldn't actually pass. But if they got to carte blanche write their own bill, they could truthfully go out and say, if you don't pass this bill, taxes are going to go through the roof. Pass the bill. So it is a political tactic to come out and say, you have to pass this bill, because if this bill doesn't pass, and then in parentheses there, that's not vocalized, and no other bill passes, taxes are going to go up on you. You are going to be paying an enormous thousands of dollars more taxes every year. So the parentheses, the thing that people aren't saying, you know, when they're trying to slim this down to a binary choice, which we also are trying to do in the YouTube live chat poll for today. Thank you very much. We're taking a page out of their book. They're trying to make the case to you that it's this bill or bust. That's it. So if you don't believe that the binary choice there exists, if you think that there is something better out there, it too has to be able to pass in order for it to enter into the conversation. Otherwise, it's the same argument. If you took the New York Republicans who want salt deductions through the overpriced roof and you put their bill out there. Same thing as Thomas Massie. Same thing as Rand Paul. If you took the Tom Tillis, the now not anymore running senator from North Carolina.
Yeah.
And said, we'll do your bill. What do you want? Would that bill pass? It wouldn't. These are not perfect solutions and scenarios, and folks, in this business, they never are. It's never that simple. My opinion of this bill, led by Donald Trump, he will bear the burden and the benefit of this bill. Yes, there will be people in Congress who will try to cling to as much credit as they possibly can for the successes of this bill and push away the consequences of the ramifications of this bill, not doing enough, doing too much in whatever particular area that we will, I don't know, have to pass the bill to see what's in it. There are going to be a lot of politics to play after this bill gets signed, but it's Donald Trump's bill. People have, you know, I'm thinking of the Chip Roys and some, you know, maybe even a Ron Johnson in the Senate from Wisconsin. They are supporting President Trump more than they are supporting this bill. They are choosing not to set themselves in the path of getting this thing passed because of their own individually minded principles, a bigger picture, something bigger and broader than just their singular views. They are taking a risk and supporting the thing that Donald Trump, the man who was elected by all the states, the only national election, only figure that is in American government that is elected by everybody, is that one position, the president of the United States. They're throwing their support behind him, and they are compromising it, in varying degrees, you know, some considerably so, to support the president in this move. And I think it's because in their wisdom, they know that they can't do better right now. If the Republican voters and if those moderate voters and if the voters in New York City who are choosing, I don't think I want a socialist to run the city of New York City. If those people show up in the midterms and push back against some sort of far leftist, aggressive, progressive takeover of the Democratic Party and choose not to hand the majority over to Democrats in the midterms, my expectation and demand on this Congress is to do much better the next time around. I don't know how much we're going to see out of these individuals next year when budgeting is part of the discussion in an election year, because everybody's more concerned about their reelection than they are about constituents. You'd think that those would go hand in hand. Maybe sometimes they do, but often when the margins are this small, they don't. If America chooses to double down on the Republican majority or the common sense majority that exists in Congress right now, we have to put great pressure as constituents in each of these districts to make sure that they take what they couldn't get done now. All of those compromises that are taking place right now, people are saying, I don't really love this. I'll vote for it, but I don't really love this. That has to be taken across the goal line the next opportunity they get. Ryan Schmelz on the Annie Fry Show. When we come back, he's the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. And I wonder if he'll be happy to see the big, beautiful bill signed. I wonder if he is tired of saying one big, beautiful bill.
Or will he be like, okay, now what?
I'm sure. We'll ask him that. What are you going to do, man?
Yeah,
well, what are you going to do with yourself? We'll ask Ryan Schmelz next. Don't go away.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are joined now by our friend Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. And we are all really concerned about all of your spare time if this big, beautiful bill gets done. We're like, what are you even going to do with yourself, Ryan?
Well, I'm still going on vacation, so things aren't changing for me.
That's one big, beautiful vacation then for Ryan Schmelz. Can you sum up for us? We talked with Eric Schmidt on this show on Friday afternoon. I think it was like 1 o'clock. He was leaving. Mm-hmm. He stepped out of the Republican luncheon where Scott Bessent was there to talk to them. And I guess it was the final push to get it across the finish line. Can you just take us in the highlights from about that point to where we are right now? Because a lot has taken place.
Right. So at that meeting, Scott Bessent and House Speaker Mike Johnson pitched a final SALT plan to the Senate Republicans, which would have taken the cap up to $40,000 with a 5-year extension. So that would keep the numbers lower than they are and kind of was offered as a compromise. So that's going to be part of the text that they vote on in the next, I don't know, however many hours it takes them to get through all these amendments. So from there, you had a vote on the motion to proceed, which was the vote that you have to get through in order to start the debate on the bill. After that happened, you know.
So is that the one that came out 51-49 and Vance didn't need to show up for it?
Correct. Yes. Vance did come to the Capitol. Now, of course, you know, his deal making and some of the relationships he has with the Senate are very valuable in these situations. You saw it in practice when they were going through the confirmation votes. So Vance was kind of trying to be deal maker. You also had three Republicans go meet with Leader Thune, and eventually they got to yes. One of them flipped. So you ended up with 51-48 or whatever it was, and it was able to get across the finish line. Now, of course, now the fun part begins, which is the amendment process we're in right now, which happened after Leader Schumer ordered the bill to be read in its entirety, all 900-plus pages, which took several hours to do, and of course was a very strenuous process. But now we're here and we'll see where this goes.
Ryan, this is Ryan. Big picture here, of course, I'm always asking about the deficit, but from the estimates that I've seen, this looks to more than double the amount every year, at least early on, that this would add to the national debt. Can you kind of summarize easily or quickly, if you can, it's okay, but I just wonder if it's easy to explain why this bill spends so much more than the House version.
Well, I think there's a number of different things here. This one now has the SALT cap added to it. This one has, you know, a number of green energy subsidies that were, you know, either placed on a sunset or killed in the first version. And then there's some other added things to this as well that have added to the deficit as well. So I think the number I saw recently is that they're expecting around $4 trillion over the next 10 years to the national debt. But Republicans have pushed back on this quite a lot and said that there are certain things the CBO does not factor in. And they believe that the economic growth numbers are just not factored in with this too. But one of the things that Ron Johnson has kept saying throughout this whole process is that even if you were to factor in 4% economic growth to the estimates that are there, you know, you still are running a deficit for how much this thing costs. So there's been like a big back and forth among Republicans about how much this is going to increase the deficit and whether or not this thing is going to eventually pay for itself or not.
NSC Director Kevin Hassett said today that the bottom line is that we're not taking away anybody's Medicaid. That was a big point of contention for out of the Tillises of the world who dropped out of running for re-election over the weekend, maybe over this, among other things. What does Medicare, Medicaid look like with this bill?
Well, Medicare doesn't look like it's really getting touched in this. Neither is Social Security. Most of the major savings that Republicans are pushing for here are related to Medicaid. A lot of that they get through work requirements, which Republicans are pretty unified around. That includes, you know, you have to work 20 hours a week if you're able-bodied. So it's people who are under a certain age, don't have a legal disability, don't have children, aren't caretakers. Everyone in that category would be exempt from this, but people who are considered able-bodied under the law would have to work 20 hours a week, whether it's in a job program, just a job in general, some type of training or some type of education program. They would have to do that in order to keep getting their Medicaid benefits. Republicans were pretty unified around that, but there were some other changes. And you heard Josh Hawley being pretty extensive about this with the provider tax, which he just feels is not exactly, you know, isn't a smart strategy. I had some major concerns with what that's going to do to rural hospitals. So Republicans are kind of working on this rural hospital fund that would maybe calm some of the nerves with those like Hawley and all the other ones who are concerned about Medicaid. And it seemed like, you know, Hawley's kind of been leveled off on this and he's not really as concerned about the bill as he used to be. So we'll see where it goes. There is one amendment we're going to want to watch for with this. It's from Rick Scott. It's pretty much an amendment that would rein in some of the states that get a Medicare match or a fund match from the federal government. He says that it incentivizes states to expand Medicaid. So we'll see how those like Hawley react to that and if that gets passed, because that could have some consequences as to whether or not certain conservative members get on board or certain moderate members get off board.
Okay.
Well, Ryan, you just answered some of my questions about things that are in the bill that Republicans are all kind of unified, excited about. But you also just mentioned the amendment there from Rick Scott. I think that's very fascinating. Where are we at right now that this thing could still change? And does it look like it will?
I mean, over the next however long it takes them to get through this votorama, there could be changes to the bill that impact the final vote. I think the Scott amendment's the one that has the best chance of passing and could be the most consequential for what happens to the bill moving forward. So I think that's kind of one we want to highlight, because a lot of the other ones are Democrat amendments that Republicans are probably going to shoot down and just, you know, not really flirt with. But the ones that Republicans are pushing for are certainly the ones we want to watch for. And this Scott one, I think, has the biggest chance of being a consequential one.
Ryan Schmell speaking with us right now, the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Make sure you follow him on X at Ryan Schmell's Fox. Last question for you. The goal has always been July 4th, to be signing this bill on July 4th. Trump said last week, It's the deadline he wants, but it's not a hard set deadline. If it has to go longer, it'll go longer. What is, you know, there's all these procedural things that all of us look at and go like, just get it done. It's not that simple. What is the likelihood or the possibility that it could get done by July 1st?
Well, right now, it sounds like the plan, Annie, is for the House to come back on Wednesday. Good. And they are expecting the bill to be passed by Wednesday, at least in the Senate. Yeah, I mean, if it gets held up in the Senate, that could be a different story. But it looks like the House expects to come back Wednesday, and then they will go from there and expect to vote on this either sometime Wednesday or maybe Thursday or Friday. I don't think they're expecting they think Wednesday's probably wishful thinking. So Thursday very well could be the day that they vote for this. And then the idea would be to send it to President Trump's desk and he can have a signing ceremony on the 4th of July.
So it's not like, you know, eating before you swim. You don't have to wait 30 minutes after you sign the law in or pass the law in the House before Trump can sign it. They get it done. It's passed by the Senate. The same bill's passed by the House. You run that thing right over to the president. He can sign it then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's how they can do it. But, you know, the funny thing is we don't know what the House is going to do. I mean, they could really hate this bill depending on what it looks like. You've already seen those like Chip Roy and a couple others express their concern with what the Senate bill does right now. So, you know, the Senate's going through all this drama and we haven't even thought about what the House is going to do when they get it.
Hmm. Have a great vacation whenever that starts for you, Ryan Schmelz. We love having you on. We love getting the updates from you, and we appreciate you very much. Thanks for talking with us today.
Always great to be on, Annie. Thank you.
Take care. You as well. Yeah, we're very close to the possibility of having this week be the week. It is truly amazing to me that it's possible that it could be signed on July 4th.
It's so funny to me that you think, oh, July 4th, that's a holiday. Congress won't be working on a holiday, but the president absolutely will.
Yeah.
I mean, if he needs to, he will.
They're going to work on a holiday.
He'll
be
working
July 4th.
Anyway. Yeah.
Increase freedom.
Yes.
On July 4th. Quick break. When we come back, there is a press conference happening at the White House. We're going to bring you into that with Carolyn Leavitt. When we return, will you be happy to see the big, beautiful bill signed? Yes or no? That's your vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Leave us your comments and stay right here. Carolyn Leavitt and the press conference next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Carolyn Leavitt right now giving a press conference, taking questions from the White House. Let's listen in to the start of it, Carolyn Leavitt, right now. From the White House.
On a scheduling note, tomorrow, President Trump will travel to the great state of Florida to attend the opening of a new illegal alien detention center located at Dade Collier Training and Transition Airport alongside Secretary Kristi Noem, Governor Ron DeSantis, Congressman Byron Donalds, and other state and local leaders. We hope to see many of you there. The facility is in the heart of the Everglades and will be informally known as Alligator Alcatraz. There is only one road leading in, and there is the only way out is a one-way flight. It is isolated and surrounded by dangerous wildlife and unforgiving terrain. The facility will have up to 5,000 beds to house, process, and deport criminal illegal aliens. This is an efficient and low-cost way to help carry out the largest mass deportation campaign in American history. We are truly coming off a historic week of President Trump racking up win after win on behalf of the American people. President Trump restored peace through strength and acted decisively as commander-in-chief to obliterate the immediate threat of the Iranian regime's nuclear capabilities, and then brokered a ceasefire between Israel and Iran, which continues to hold. Then, the president traveled to the Netherlands and achieved a monumental win for the United States and the NATO alliance by getting our allies to dedicate 5% of their GDPs to military spending. As a result of President Trump unleashing American energy dominance, summer gas prices are at the lowest they have been in 4 years, heading into the July 4th week. And with the incoming Trump economic boom, the stock market continues to roar back, with the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ both hitting record highs. And on this point of an economic boom, I bring to you original correspondence from the President of the United States to our Fed Chair, Jerome Powell. As the president has consistently stated, the American economy is booming. And there were so many economic analysts who said that this president's policies would drive our economy down, when in fact we have seen the opposite. We've seen a massive deregulation campaign take place. We've seen inflation completely diminished from where it was under the reckless spending and the bad policies of the previous incompetent administration. I would remind the Fed chair, and I would remind the entire world, that this is a president who was a businessman first. And he knows what he is doing. He has a proven economic formula that worked in his first term as president, and it is working again. The one problem that remains is high interest rates for the American people. The American people want to borrow money cheaply, and they should be able to do that. But unfortunately, we have interest rates that are still too high. So the president sent this note to the Fed chair today. And if you look at this chart, this is a chart of all of the interest rates of many countries throughout the world. At the top is Switzerland. They're only paying a quarter for interest rates. Cambodia, Japan, Denmark, Thailand, Botswana, Barbados, Taiwan, Bulgaria, Cuba, Sweden, Morocco, Cabo Verde, South Korea, Algeria, Canada, Albania, Libya, Malaysia, China, New Zealand, Trinidad and Tobago, Czechia, Bolivia, Australia, Costa Rica, the Bahamas, Kuwait, Papua New Guinea, Bosnia, United Kingdom, and the UAE are all paying lower interest rates than the United States of America, which has one of the hottest and strongest economies in the world. The president sent this note to the Fed chair. It says, Jerome, you are, as usual, too late. You have cost the USA a fortune and continue to do so. You should lower the rate by a lot. Hundreds of billions of dollars are being lost, and there is no inflation. And the president is right. There is historically low inflation thanks to his policies. And we will continue to drive down the cost of living in this country for Americans. We will continue to deregulate. And it's also incredibly important that we pass this one big beautiful bill, which is the largest tax cuts in American history. And that's why the White House and the president himself have been in touch with lawmakers all weekend long to get this bill passed. And they are working very hard to do so. It remains a top priority for the president. And this bill has exposed the clear differences between Republicans and Democrats in 2025. The Democrats are doubling down on craziness and radical policies that are undermining the very fabric of our country. Just look at the Democrat nominee for New York City Mayor, Zohran Mamdani. He's a Democrat socialist, really a communist, who proudly calls to defund the police, peddles anti-Semitism, praises pro-Hamas groups, wants Israel abolished, and believes wealthy Americans should not exist. Those are his words, just as recent as this weekend. Meanwhile, under President Trump's leadership, Republicans are fighting tirelessly for everyday middle-class working Americans who re-elected this president, and we're carrying out a revolution of common sense, and all of that is packed into this one big beautiful bill. It delivers the largest middle and working-class tax cuts in U.S. history. It keeps America safe by funding the largest ever one-time investment in border security. It's enough to reverse the Biden border invasion. And every single Democrat is against that, against securing our border and deporting millions of criminal illegal aliens. The One Big Beautiful Bill also strengthens and protects Medicaid benefits, despite what Democrats are saying, for eligible American citizens who rely on it, like pregnant women, children, seniors, and people with disabilities, by eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse that threaten to destroy this program that was intended for the most vulnerable in our society. And every single Democrat in Congress is against rooting out that waste, fraud, and abuse in blocking the 1.4 million illegal aliens who are currently improperly receiving these benefits that should be going to American taxpaying citizens. The Democrats in Congress are more concerned with defending illegal aliens than they are hardworking Americans. And the Big Beautiful Bill also revitalizes our military and enhances our defense capabilities, protects our country from emerging new threats by funding a cutting-edge missile defense system called the Golden Dome. And as we all know, the One Big Beautiful Bill makes the Trump tax cuts permanent. The White House and the president are adamant that this bill is passed and that this bill makes its way to his desk. Republicans need to stay tough and unified during the home stretch, and we are counting on them to get the job done. So with that, we will take up questions. John Fredericks is in our new media seat today. John, thanks for being here. We'll kick it to you.
Thank you, Caroline. Let's get to the One Big Beautiful Bill first. It appears now you're going to get at least 50 votes in the Senate. There'll be some amendments. What is the president's confidence level in getting 218 votes in the House by the end of this week in order for him to sign it on Friday?
Well, look, we are very well aware, the president is very well aware, that this bill needs to not only pass out of the Senate, but it needs to go back to the House. And we need the full weight of the Republican conference to get behind this bill. And we expect them to, and we are confident that they will. The president has been working hand in hand with Senate Majority Leader Thune and also our House Republican leader, or the Speaker of the House, I'm sorry, Mike Johnson, both of whom will be at the White House today to meet with the president yet again. I believe they were here this morning, actually.
I have one follow-up.
Sure.
You outlined Jerome Powell and the note that the president just sent to him. There are many who believe that Powell has been politicized in a lot of different ways. The president has not been shy about acting on things that he believes in. Why not just fire Jerome Powell and put in somebody that is going to lower rates? Why wait?
Well, it's a good question and one you can ask the president because that's a decision for him to make. But you're right to point out the politicization of the Fed, and it's very unfortunate for our country. But Jerome Powell cut rates numerous times ahead of the election when Joe Biden was in this Oval Office, but now he refuses to and the economy is in a much better place. So there really isn't a good explanation for that, and the president is rightfully calling attention to it.
Thank you.
Kelly.
Good afternoon. On Iran, the president posted on his social that he is not even talking to them anymore. When we were at NATO, he said he expected the U.S. and Iran to have talks as early as this week and that he might even want to see a written agreement. What is the update now if he's saying he's not even talking?
So as I told you from the podium last week, I said the administration and namely our special envoy, Steve Witkoff, has been in communication both directly and indirectly with the Iranians. That communication continues. The president himself has not talked to Iran, which he pointed out in his truth statement. Peter.
Thank you, Caroline. Does President Trump want Zohran Mamdani deported?
I haven't heard him say that. I haven't heard him call for that. But certainly he does not want this individual to be elected. I was just speaking to him about it and his radical policies that will completely crush New York City, which is obviously a city that the president holds near and dear to his heart.
There's this Congressman, Annie Ogles. He wants the Attorney General Bondi to explore denaturalization proceedings because he thinks Mamdani could have misrepresented or concealed material support for terrorism based on rap lyrics he wrote in 2017. Does President Trump think this is a worthwhile use of the Attorney General's time?
Well, I'll let the president speak to that. I have not seen those claims, but surely if they are true, it's something that should be investigated.
And could President Trump see himself, you said you just talked to him about this, mm-hmm. could he see himself working with a Mayor Mamdani, somebody who on Meet the Press this weekend was given three chances to condemn the phrase globalize the Intifada, mm-hmm. but he couldn't?
Yeah, look, the president is always willing to work with everyone. He's working with Democrats across the country, Democrat governors, and he said he'll work with people on the far left. He works with Republicans. He works with people in the middle. He wants to do what's right for America, but surely someone who holds these values and is quite literally a communist and condemns every value that makes this country great, common sense, law and order, low taxes, working hard, and earning your keep in this country, he's against all of that, and I think the president would find it difficult to work with someone like that. If he is elected, I'm sure you'll hear more from the president on that. But we'll have to see. Hopefully, the voters of New York City choose wisely. Sure.
Thanks, Caroline. The president last on Friday said that he was hopeful of a Gaza deal within the next week. Can you give us an update on any progress towards that or on any talks that the White House is having with Israel on that? Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, I know that Mr. Dermer is in Washington this week to meet with senior officials here at the White House. I also know that this administration is in constant communication with Israeli leadership, and the president himself speaks frequently, as you know, to Prime Minister Netanyahu. But this has been a priority for the president since he took office, to end this brutal war in Gaza. It is because of this president that humanitarian aid is being brought into the region. It's heartbreaking to see the images that have come out from both Israel and Gaza throughout this war, and the president wants to see it end. He wants to save lives. And however, the main priority for the president also remains to bring all of the hostages home out of Gaza. As you know, his tireless effort has brought home many of the hostages, including all of the American hostages who were held there. So he wants to see both things happen, and we're continuing to work very hard to do those things. Sure.
Yeah, thanks, Caroline. What is the White House's response to Senator Tillis's criticism articulated from the Senate floor yesterday, in which he said passing the Big Beautiful Bill would betray President Trump's promise to protect Medicaid?
Well, he is just wrong. And the president and the vast majority of Republicans who are supportive of this legislation are right. This bill protects Medicaid, as I laid out for you, for those who truly deserve this program, the needy, pregnant women, children, sick Americans who physically cannot work. And what it does is it ensures that able-bodied Americans who can work 20 hours a week are actually doing so, and that will therefore strengthen and protect those benefits for Americans who need it, as well as cutting out the waste, fraud, and abuse, as well as getting 1.4 million illegal aliens off of the program. So all of those measures are actually going to protect it for those who need it. That's the president's position, and that's what this bill does, and that's why Republicans need to vote for it and get it to the president's desk.
But getting that kind of criticism from a Republican senator, is that reason for concern for the passage of this?
No, it's not. We're confident this bill is going to be back at the White House by the 4th of July. Stephen.
Thank you, Caroline. Two questions. On the New York mayoral race, does the president plan to make an endorsement? And secondly, on Jerome Powell, a lot of the focus obviously has been on interest rates and him keeping them high, but a new controversy erupted today. My colleague first reported that he's facing chairman Jerome Powell is facing accusations of lying to Congress, which is a potential crime, about luxurious details of the Fed's $2.5 billion renovation project. Senator Loomis has called attention to this. Some experts want him to be investigated. Does the White House want these allegations investigated and, if found substantiated, punished?
I'll have to take a look at those allegations, and I will raise them to the president's attention and let him speak on them himself. To your first question regarding the mayoral race, the president was asked that yesterday by Maria Bartiromo. He refused to give an endorsement, so you won't get one from me at this podium unless he wants me to do that.
So Carolyn Leavitt speaking from the White House, taking questions from the press, of course, and updating. Initially, her first point was pass the Big Beautiful Bill, which is what we talked to Ryan Schmelz about and what our poll is about today. Will you be happy to see the Big Beautiful Bill signed? Yes or no? Definitely want your comments and your thoughts. And we will continue to cover that throughout the course of the show. Taylor Riggs is going to be with us from Fox Business at 1 o'clock, talking to us about the, you know, progress of the tariff plan that the president has put in place, what the Big Beautiful Bill signing, should we get to that by the end of the week, what that will mean. And gosh, the stock market just keeps going up. What's going on? Taylor Riggs will tell us at 1 o'clock. Wiggins America next on The Annie Fry Show.
Oh! Monday Roundup! This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
All right, you heard page one. Here's the page two news.
Two? Don't flatter yourself.
Nah, this is page two. This is just below the fold.
This is like page six or seven.
Heck no. You were just reading the headlines, and you're like, oh, look at all this other news that I didn't see before. A majority of U.S. adults support religious chaplains in public schools, a new poll finds. The Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research released a report showing that over half of adults think schools should be allowed to have chaplains available to provide support services to kids in schools.
I provide pastors in my children's school by sending them to a Lutheran school. Send your kids to a Lutheran school.
Well, that concludes that story.
No, this is good.
This is great news.
This is good. Yes, this is great news. This is a marquee sign of the times. The culture shift has borne out the politicians that we have in office right now. The culture shift starts first. Then you start to see it manifest itself in elected officials, or maybe the kind of content that people consume higher than others, or the figures that you know, the public community lauds, things they stand for, things people like. And this is absolutely a sign of the times. I don't think that this will last. This isn't the way of the future.
I don't either, but I'll
take it while we can.
I like the direction, because this is not something that typically Americans have said, yeah, those things should be mixed.
Let me add in this, that I, as a, this is what nerd Lutherans say, I, as an LCMS Lutheran, I know that there are Wisconsin Synod Lutherans, there are Missouri Synod Lutherans, there are evangelical ELCA Lutherans, which I think is the biggest of them all. ELCA Lutherans, it's an entirely different faith than the Lutheranism that I subscribe to. So when you say chaplain in school, there are culture wars that are being led opposite the direction of a faith-based foundation that I'm raising my kids with my husband. There are culture wars being led by people who wear a collar. So when I hear chaplain, I'm thinking like, well, what kind of chaplain? And why should another kid have to be ministered to or counseled by the chaplain of my particular faith? Like, I don't have an entitlement to be able to pick who that is versus another one. So, like, yes, inserting God into the classroom again would be a great, great, great thing, which is why I pay to do it for my kids. Maybe a good step. But also, it could still be the devil's playground.
Well, this would be led by the kid. So the kid would seek out help with something from a chaplain in school.
But so that's a question. Does the school choose the chaplain, or is it like a hospital where they'll ask you, like, what is your faith?
It sounds like it's more like that. I mean, well, there's not a specific, like, oh, this is the way we'd implement it.
You could have, like, a Lutheran pastor, yep, and the ELCA Lutheran pastor, and a Catholic and a Presbyterian and a Baptist. You could have all of those things. Now, that I would really support.
And that seems to be the way this is talking about it happening. I'll add this, too. A majority of adults agree that parents have too little influence on their children's education and that the government has too much influence.
So says the Supreme Court.
Yes.
On Friday.
Yes. And so this is an Associated Press poll. This isn't a right-leaning poll. This is a probably left-leaning poll, if anything. And still, the majority support. I'll make the counterpoint to your point that, you know, hey, this might never happen. If schools continue to go down the road that they are, which is less and less education, more and more babysitting, more and more issues that you're having with crime and everything else, I can't see Americans turning away from this. I would think that support for this would actually grow, but that's my opinion.
Which is allowed in Weekends America.
Yes, it is. Only here, though. Otherwise, I'm just going to say whatever Annie wants me to say.
Yeah, that's exactly how this show is run. I know that everybody listening for any period of time know that that is like part of Ryan's contract.
That's right, Annie.
You must affirm what I shut up. Do the next one.
Nestle
now, what
says
are you going to do?
It will remove. Nestle says it will remove artificial dyes from U.S. foods by next year. That's very fast. This is all, of course, getting ahead of the MAHA RFK movement. But my question for you is not, is this good? Is there anything that you're still waiting on? Like, all right, I'll believe it when I start to see this. Was there something that you were particularly looking forward to with RFK or with MAHA?
I just want information. I just want real information that isn't funded or paid for by somebody who doesn't actually care about the health of my children or me. I almost feel like I'm a lost cause. Not quite, working on it. But, you know, if you're a kid of the 80s or the 90s like we were, I don't know that we actually ate food until maybe the 2020s. Like, everything we've eaten has been so processed for so long, I fear what we have been doing to our bodies this whole time. I want my children to be exposed to natural, healthy foods. If you're gonna manipulate foods along the process, it has to be done naturally, There's an entire shift that needs to take place in the way that we provide food that can be consumed, and that's all so far over my head. I'm in a position to only be able to trust.
Is it possible that we've been fighting off so much weird artificial food and fighting so hard for so long that if we start to get real food, our bodies will be super bodies?
I suppose it's possible. Like you said, I'm in a position to trust. Now, when it comes to health and nutrition and food advice, Ryan, you're not high on my list.
That's your mistake. I will add this, though, before we run out of time here in Wiggins America.
You should do a health podcast.
I'm talking about it with Fred Bottomer. He's been begging me.
Yeah, and yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
Fred,
Fred's a real beggar.
I got a lot going on, man.
It's for people who are diabetic-ish.
Well, I got news on that. I'll share with you later.
Okay. Is it your A1C?
It's not my A1C, but it can be if you want it. I just want to add that the one thing I'm waiting for from RFK is to make bread better.
Yeah.
I said this before the election. I'm like, dude, just fix bread.
I've been eating Famous Dave's sprouted bread something or other. I read in some rando magazine that it was the healthiest bread you can eat. It's delicious. Can't wait to find out it is killing me. I think it's great. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.